Case number 7-21-810. No disqualifier.
No.
I didn't mean to rush you, Captain. Are you ready?
I'm ready, yes, thank you.
All right. I'll just say for the record, Captain Giannone is still here, so rather than have him appear for himself in three cases in a row. Captain, can you please identify your witness?
Yes, would you?
Yep, Detective Michael Caron, C-A-R-O-N.
He's a detective within Hartford PD.
Thank you. And Captain, would you like to make an opening statement?
Good morning, board members. We're here today for a revocation based on suitability. We intend to show that in early 2021, the Hartford PD Vice and Narcotics Unit began an investigation into a business in Hartford for suspected drug sales. The business is owned either in part by the appellant or the appellant's husband. After three undercover drug purchases for crack cocaine that were made at the business, detectives secured a search warrant and it was served on April 9th of 2021. In the execution of the warrant, the appellant's husband, a convicted felon, was working and found possession of narcotics and cash proceeds. A firearm was found at the business and it was locked in a safe, but entry was made by the husband providing the key to the safe to the detectives, giving him constructive possession. That although the appellant was not arrested, she improperly stored her firearms in a business that sells drugs and in a safe where her convicted husband had access to it, and therefore we hope that the board upholds our decision.
Thank you, Captain. Counsel, I didn't have you identify yourself.
Ralph Sherman, representing the appellant. Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you, Counsel. Attorney Sherman, would you like to make an opening statement?
I'll pass on the opening statement, but I am willing to stipulate the facts as recited by Captain Giannone.
Okay. Fair enough. Captain, did you want to proceed with your case?
Yes. Detective, you've already stated and spelled your name, but just to confirm, is Detective Caron?
Yes, sir.
What is your current town of employment?
City of Hartford.
And how long have you been employed in Hartford?
Since 2009.
And you're a detective right now?
Yes, sir.
And how long have you been employed as a detective?
Going on 6 years.
Okay. And were you working as a detective on April 9th, 2021?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And did you serve a search warrant on that date?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And do you recall the location or place where the search warrant was served?
Yes, sir. It was a convenience store located at 290 Bellevue Street in Hartford.
Do you recall what the name of that business was?
I believe it was like two, if I'm not pronouncing this right, then I apologize, but I believe it was Two Cousins or something like that.
And what was the basis that your search warrant was predicated upon?
We had information from a confidential informant that they were utilizing the store to distribute narcotics, particularly crack cocaine. We used that same informant to do three control purchases, which we then obtained a valid search and seizure warrant.
Okay, and when you say purchase of controlled substances, what substance in particular?
Crack cocaine.
So on three separate occasions, crack cocaine was purchased from the store?
Yes, sir. I believe it was like over a period of approximately 2 months or so.
Okay. When the warrant, you served the warrant?
Yes, sir.
When you served the warrant, did you meet any resistance?
No, sir.
And who was there when you served the warrant?
The accused at the time, Robert Johnson.
Robert Johnson. And who is Robert Johnson to the appellant?
From what we were told, the husband.
And what was Robert Johnson doing there at the time?
He was behind the counter, so I'm assuming he was just working the store.
As a clerk?
As a clerk, yes.
Okay. At the initial stages, did Johnson make any statements to you?
He informed us that he had some weed on him, and also that there was a gun in the back of the store that belonged to his wife.
Okay. And did you ask him any further questions about your service of the execution of the warrant?
Yeah, we informed him we had a search and procedural warrant for the store. During that time, we asked him, since he was the only, I believe he was the only person in the store, if he was a convicted felon. He acknowledged he was a convicted felon. He acknowledged that he couldn't be in possession of a firearm. And then shortly thereafter, we had a drug canine dog come in, which then alerted to the groin area of Mr. Johnson.
Okay, and what does an alert mean?
So this drug dog is only trained in detecting narcotics and is not trained in detecting marijuana. So it detected narcotics on the person of Mr. Johnson. When confronted with that, Mr. Johnson then reached into his groin area and pulled out some crack cocaine.
Okay, so at that point in time, you had already recovered or uncovered marijuana on this person?
Correct.
And then there was crack cocaine on this person as well?
Correct.
Okay. And he stated there was a firearm in the business, is that true?
Yes, sir.
And did he tell you who it belonged to?
His wife.
Okay. Did you find anything else on Johnson's person as a result of searching?
U.S. currency, yes.
Do you remember approximately how much?
I believe it was either, give or take, maybe $600 or $700. I don't remember exactly.
And as a result of the search warrant, did you conduct a search of the business itself?
Yes, sir. Behind the counter and a couple like small portable coolers, various bags of packaged marijuana, those same coolers containing currency. We assume that currency was based off of selling the marijuana.
Okay. And when someone has that type of material, do you believe that's personal, or do you believe they're...
No, it's from our training experience, that's just packaged for street level sales.
Okay. And was there anything else indicating that there was potential sales?
Well, just the U.S. currency that was in there. So typically that U.S. currency is kept separate from like the cash register. That way we can say any legitimate items that were purchased in the store would go in the cash register, and then any illegal sales would be then put into the cooler where the marijuana was.
Did the search yield anything to measure or weigh?
There was scales, a drug ledger, and other packaging material as well.
And excuse my question here, but what exactly is a ledger?
So in the ledger, there's sort of like a breakdown of what is sold based off of some of the writing in it. There was just simple like a one letter thing like C, and then there was a W, and then there was a P, based off of our training experience in dealing with convenience stores like that, that probably stands for crack cocaine, weed, and pills. Those are just typical things we find when doing search warrants at convenience stores, which we've probably done dozens and dozens of them.
So, do you recall how many entries were made in that ledger? Or was there a date and time span?
Off the top of my head, I don't recall.
And where was the ledger located, if you recall?
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
So, Mr. Johnson stated there was a firearm in the business?
Yes.
Did you ever locate it?
Yes, it was towards the back of the store.
And where was it located in the store?
In a portable safe.
Was the safe locked?
Yes.
How did you gain entry to it?
Typically, when there's a safe, we'll ask the individual that's in questions if they have a key to the safe. It just prevents us from having to break something that's not necessary. And Mr. Johnson informed us that he had a key to the safe to open it up.
So he provided you with the key to enter into the safe and retrieve the gun?
Yes, sir.
And he's a convicted felon?
Yes, sir.
Was the appellant on scene when you arrived?
Not initially, no.
Okay. Did the appellant ever show up at any time?
Towards the tail end of things when we were sort of getting ready to leave.
Okay, and did you speak with the appellant at all about what was transpiring at the business?
Yes, sir.
And what did the conversation
We informed the appellant that we had a search and seizure warrant for the business. The appellant then informed us that she was part owner of the store and that the individual that we were arresting was her husband.
Okay. Did she mention anything about her firearm being at the store?
Yes, sir. So she had stated that she had worked the previous night, had left the firearm there, and she also acknowledged that she knew her husband was a convicted felon and knew that he wasn't supposed to be in possession of the firearm.
All right, I have no further questions.
Thank you. Cross?
I have nothing, thank you.
Okay, any further? Wait. I am like jumping too fast. Board have any questions, the witness? Chief?
Were the three buys made from the husband?
We don't know, sir. I believe it was the last. It was the first control purchases was from an unknown black male. We weren't able to identify that individual.
Is it that definitely not the husband?
We don't know.
Okay. Could be. You don't know.
Could be. And then the third purchase was from a separate black male. Same thing. I don't know. So I can't answer that question.
And the husband, her husband was arrested.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what happened in court?
I believe the case was thrown out.
Okay. Do you know what his felony conviction was for?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
He got the key and opened, the husband got the key and opened the safe.
I hate to interrupt. Okay. We have the information, I believe it was submitted in the record. If not, I can provide it to him and we can speak to it. If that be why he's answering the question.
Are you talking about the conviction?
Yeah.
Is it
in there?
The husband, yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
I didn't. No, we don't have it.
No? Would you like him to testify to it?
I would. I don't know if you're going to object.
Looks like charge one is possession of narcotics back in 2007. Charge two is,
just that one.
So it just looks like possession of narcotics back in January of 2007.
Okay, you obtained the key to the safe from the appellant's husband. Where was the key? Was he carrying it? Did he have to get it somewhere? How did you come about that key?
I don't recall, sir, only because this is going back 2.5 years. I don't recall off the top of my head.
But he knew where it was. Is that true? That he knew exactly where the key, it wasn't a problem getting the key from him, or was it?
No, it wasn't. That's why he's sort of going back. Whenever we encounter like a safe, we try to find a key to the safe or passcode. That way we don't have to break unnecessary things to get into the safe. So the husband knew where the key was and where the safe
and
was.
And when you say safe, I think I know what you're talking about. A box about this big, is that
yes.
With a key lock on
yes.
it?
Yes.
Like this. And it opens up? And
yes.
Anything else in there beside the gun?
There was some money in there. There was some bills that were related to the store. It should be noted too that the same canine that we used, the drug canine that we used to locate the drugs on Mr. Johnson, the canine also alerted to the safe as well, which would indicate that although there was no drugs found in the safe, there was more than likely probably drugs in there at some point.
All right, thank you.
Other questions? Attorney Sinetti.
Yeah, do you know whether or not the wife also had a key to the safe, or was there more than one key?
Good question. I don't know.
Okay, but you only saw the one that was in the possession of
correct.
The husband.
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Oh, were you going to read in more detail how the key was obtained and used from the statement that you put before the detective?
No, there was just additional records that the suspect in the case had an additional felony from 2000. So
also for drugs.
Correct. It was for sale of hallucinogen and narcotics in October 3rd of 2000, and then the one that the detective previously mentioned as well. 2000 and 2007.
Other questions by the board? And just to repeat, there are no other witnesses on your end?
No other witnesses.
Okay, Attorney Sherman.
Thank you. I'd like to call the appellant, please.
Okay.
So, board, please, how old are you?
47.
And please speak up, it's hard to hear.
Sure, 47.
And lower.
Mm-hmm.
Are you working?
Yes.
What do you do for work?
I work for the state of Connecticut. I work for the Department of Consumer Protection.
And what type of job?
So I work for drug control, Department of Drug Control, and I work for specifically the Department of Medical Marijuana.
And how long have you been there?
5 years.
5 years. You heard the testimony about the store. Who owned that store? Who owned that business?
My husband and his cousin.
And his cousin?
Yes.
And did you work there sometimes?
In the evening, yes.
In the evening, okay. So this was like a little part-time job?
Well, I wasn't getting paid, but yes, I would help sometimes, yes.
Were you there to close the store?
Sometimes, that sort of thing? Yes.
Okay. And you heard the testimony about drug sales and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that drugs were being sold at this store?
I did not.
So you were not involved in these sales?
Not at all.
You didn't know anybody who was selling drugs there?
No.
And you didn't sell any drugs?
Not at all.
Does your husband still have the store?
No.
So you're not working there anymore? You're not involved?
Not at all.
You heard the testimony about the firearm being in some sort of a safe or locked box.
Yes.
Was that accurate?
Other than money being inside, there was no money inside. It was just a modified pistol.
Okay. And are you the one who had placed the firearm in that box?
Yes.
Why did you put the gun in there?
Stupidly, I kept it there when I worked in the evening. It's not a safe environment. I felt afraid, honestly, to be there. In the evening sometimes to be alone.
And did you, why did you leave it at the store?
That was an accident, and that was just a stupid mistake.
So you didn't mean to leave it there?
Not at all.
You're still married to the same person?
Yes.
Do you have any firearms at home?
I do.
How are they stored, please?
I have a lock. Box and a key, I don't know what you call it, it's like a bike lock type of thing, and it has a key access to it.
Does anybody besides you have access to that firearm?
No one else.
Not your husband?
Not at all.
When you look back on the situation and you're leaving the firearm at the store in a way that your husband was able to get to it, how do you feel about it?
Stupid mistake. Very stupid, very careless of myself. I'm unaware, I need to retrain myself in the laws. I know there's been lots of changes in the laws, and I just need to retrain myself, but it was a stupid mistake.
How long did you have your permit?
I want to say maybe 10 years. It did lapse in at some point, and then I renewed it. So I would say 10 years total. It may be longer, I'm not sure.
When you say lapse, you mean you failed to renew it?
Exactly.
Okay, so the renewal came up, you didn't renew it.
Exactly.
And then you had to start over.
Exactly.
With a new permit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I have nothing further.
Cross, Captain?
Yes. Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, so your counsel asked you a question regarding the business ownership. You do not own the business, correct?
No.
Whatever happened to the business?
My husband no longer works there, so I believe it's still thriving. I don't know.
He was the owner of it?
Him and his cousin.
And did he sell his ownership stake, sell the business?
I believe so. I'm not really particular of how that resolved, mm-hmm. but I know it is dissolved, but I'm not sure how that happened.
And do you know when it dissolved?
Maybe 2 years ago, perhaps.
So was it right after the search warrant?
It was after, but I can't give you a time frame. I don't know the exact time.
And but was it a result of the search warrant?
Was it after? Yes.
Like, sorry, he said, was it a result? Was it because of the search warrant?
I don't know.
You testified that you were working there the night prior to the search warrant being executed. Is that
correct?
True? And do you recall what your hours of employment were that day? How long you worked?
That we would typically be closed like maybe 10, between 9 and 10.
And what time would you usually arrive there?
Oh, maybe like 5, between 5 and 6.
And would you be by yourself when you were there?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. So what about the other times?
So sometimes there would be someone there. My husband would be there. Other times, like, I would be there alone.
And besides your husband, who else would potentially be there with you?
No one else.
And just to paint the picture, what kind of store was it? What did you guys sell?
I guess, I don't know if that's a bodega. I don't know if everyone's familiar with that term, but like a corner store, candy, chips, soda, snacks.
A general store items.
Exactly.
We have to ask, were you aware of any drug sales being conducted at the business?
Not at all.
Did anyone ever come and try and purchase drugs from you while you were there?
Not at all.
The officer testified that 3 narcotics transactions occurred at that business. On a regular week, how many times a week would you work there?
I would say probably once a week would be average. There would be times when they would ask, can I come in? but not often. I do have a full-time job.
Okay. So the officer testified that there was a scale that they found. Have you ever seen a scale there?
They sold scales. So in the front of the store, like on the side, there was a case and they sold paraphernalia. So they would have like a hookah scale. So there were those things there.
Were there ever any scales associated or near any types of narcotics that you saw?
Did I see? No.
Did you ever see any coolers containing type of packaging material?
Not at all.
Have you ever seen a ledger?
Not at all.
The officer testified that a narcotics dog sniffed or alerted to the safe where the gun was located.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why that would be?
No.
Has there ever been drugs in there that you've seen?
There were no drugs. That was my case, so there was no drugs in the case.
Have you ever seen any type of drug in that store?
No.
Marijuana?
Not at all.
Do you normally carry a firearm when you used to work there?
I kept it there, unfortunately.
When you would normally carry the firearm at work, would you carry it on your person or secure it in the safe?
I would carry it on my person and then secure it in the safe.
So you would secure it in the safe at what point?
Like when I would go in, I would put it away and lock it away, keep the key with me, and then have it.
Just to clarify, you would show up,
mm-hmm.
and then you would not carry it on your person while you were doing business. You would secure it while you were doing business.
Correct. I would not carry the pistol on my person. Correct.
Okay. And then when you left,
mm-hmm.
would you normally leave the firearm in the safe, or would you secure it?
There have been times I have left it there, to be quite honest. There have been times I would leave it in the safe.
Okay. And how do you gain access to the safe?
There's a key.
How many keys are there?
There's one key.
Where is that key usually held?
It was on a key ring, and I would have it in the front of the store where I would be.
To your knowledge, aside from this incident,
mm-hmm.
where the search warrant was executed,
mm-hmm.
Did other people have access to your firearm through the use of that key?
No.
So, you just stated when you keep the key, you would normally keep it
in the front. Mm-hmm.
So if you weren't there, other people could arguably grab that key and gain access to the safe. Is that true?
Very true.
Did you know that your husband had access to the key?
I didn't authorize access, but if I left it, unfortunately, he would have access.
Okay. And you're still married with your husband?
Yes.
Okay, how long have you known each other?
I guess 5 years. We got married actually 6 days prior to the day that the cops came in.
So that was 2 years ago?
So. Exactly. So we got married April 3rd, and that I believe happened on the 9th.
And how long did you know him prior to your marriage?
Probably 2 years.
So would it be safe to say 7 years total?
Correct.
My math is correct.
That's a long time.
Through the relationship with him, mm-hmm. did you become aware that he was a felon?
Oh, yes.
And did he tell you why he was a felon?
Oh, we spoke about it, yes.
And what did he tell you?
That he had been arrested when he was younger for drugs.
Mm-hmm. And to your knowledge, mm-hmm. at the time, were you aware that he was potentially selling drugs?
I was not aware of that.
Did it surprise you to learn that he was alleged?
I was very upset. Very upset when I arrived to the school.
Did your husband at the time, to your knowledge, mm-hmm. smoke or use any type of marijuana?
Yes, he smokes marijuana.
Did he use any crack cocaine?
Not at all.
Any other drug that you're aware of?
Not at all.
Pill or otherwise?
No.
Prescription medication?
No.
Okay, so just the marijuana?
Correct.
Were you using marijuana at all at
no.
the time?
No.
On the day of the search warrant, did you show up to the business?
Yes, I did.
And how did you show up just on happenstance, or were you made aware?
I want to say a police officer gave me a call, called me and asked me to come down.
And were you told anything?
No.
So you just showed up and you didn't know what was going on?
Not at all. When I arrived, there were paddy wagons, huge trucks, everything. I was not aware. It was shocking.
And then at that point, we presume someone told you what was going on?
Oh, when I went in the store, there were cops. My husband wasn't. I had handcuffs and tons of cops around, so I was made aware.
Okay. Besides your husband, mm-hmm. do you know of anyone else who worked in that store?
His cousin.
His cousin?
Yes.
And do you know this cousin personally?
Oh, yes.
Is the cousin a felon?
I don't know his background, unfortunately.
To your knowledge, has the cousin ever been in trouble with the law, or?
I don't know. I'm not that I'm aware of, but I don't know his background.
Does your husband still use drugs?
Does he smoke marijuana? Yes.
To your knowledge, is he still sell?
Not that I'm aware of.
What was the result of this case and his arrest?
I believe I don't know the term. I want to say it was Ali. It was dismissed.
And you stated earlier you keep your guns at home in a safe when they're not on your person?
Correct.
And
it has a lock on it as well.
And is there a digital or electronic key entry as well, or just a?
It's a key entry.
Just a key. And how many keys are there for that?
There's one key for that.
And where is that usually stored?
I have that separate in another area of my dresser.
So it's locked and the key is in the dresser.
So there's two locks. So it's in the gun is in a safe and that's a lock. And then it has a hook, kind of like I guess the best way to describe it is like a bike kind of lock that has a lock on it as well. And that is separate as well.
Okay. And does your husband know where the key is?
No, he does not.
I have no further questions. Thank you.
Questions by the board? Colonel?
Just one question.
Sure.
You stated that when the captain asked you about, you would bring your firearm to work, to the bodega.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not your state job. You'd
no.
bring it to the bodega.
Correct.
Then you would lock it in the safe?
Yes.
While you were working the counter?
Correct.
Because you brought it there because you're concerned about your personal safety?
Absolutely.
Yep. And you said you would leave it there sometimes. I believe that's how you testified?
Well, mistakenly. Like, it wouldn't be. I think I got lazy, to be quite honest.
So the incident in which when the search warrant was served,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't a singular incident then for you to forget to leave the firearm, you leaving the firearm there. It happened on several...
It may have happened a time.
On several occasions prior to that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was my only question.
Other questions by the board, chief?
The gun, the night of the search warrant, the gun was there in the box.
Correct.
When did it get there?
It was there the night before.
And was it there the night before that?
No.
So you brought it there the night before. Did you work that night before?
I did.
Okay. When did you realize that you got home and didn't have your gun?
I didn't realize it.
So you didn't know your gun was missing?
I didn't realize it, no.
I think that's important.
Yes, I do. Like I said, I make tons of stupid mistakes that I'm fully aware of.
And the key, was it hanging on a board near the register, or how, describe how the key was stored?
So there's a, this is the register area, and then there is like the cash register here, and I left the key there. It's a, like a little, not a hook, but like a little area where the key was hanging from on the side over there, on the top, near the register.
Why would you do that?
It's stupid.
Because not only your husband, anybody working there, anybody walking in, could steal the gun. The key is right there, and may or may not know.
Absolutely. In hindsight, it wasn't really even a protective measure for myself at that point.
And the idea of keeping the gun in a locked box in the store for your protection seems strange to me. It'd be more protective if you were carrying it on you.
Absolutely.
Is there any rule that says you cannot carry it on you?
No.
While you're in the store?
There's no rule. I think I just felt uncomfortable, to be quite honest. There were kids. It's a neighborhood store. I didn't think it looked well. I guess I was thinking of maybe the aesthetics of it, like to have a weapon on me in such a kind of neighborhood store. But in hindsight, it wasn't safe at
well,
all.
Well, like you just said, there are kids in, coming in and out of the store.
Absolutely.
With the key there and the gun in the back. Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Attorney Sinetti?
Just a few. Early in your testimony, you said that you were a little confused about... You're a little, you okay? Right. You said you were a little confused about the status of the law, and you said law is changing all the time.
Correct.
Okay, but what you had to take a safety course before you got your permit in the first place, right?
Absolutely.
And during that course, I'm sure they told you that it was your responsibility as a gun owner to keep your firearms away from unauthorized persons?
I don't recall that, to be quite honest.
Do you think that's a good idea?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
And you didn't do that this time?
I did not do that this
okay.
time.
Thank you.
Other question? Detective or Captain, what were the charges to the husband? Do we know?
I can...
It's fine.
If you don't know, just what you know.
Can I assume? I based off what was in the store, I mean, I don't know exactly what we charged the Mr. Johnson with. I can base off of... crack cocaine and marijuana found there, more than likely possession, possession with intent to sell narcotics, possession of a controlled substance, the word marijuana, and possession with intent to sell marijuana.
You said the dog sniffed the body of the husband.
Yeah.
I don't have in my notes, was there crack found?
Yeah. Okay. So, it is a very typical spot for individuals who sell crack to keep their crack tucked into their groin area.
Okay.
It's sort of a little disgusting, but that's just, it's very, very, very
mm-hmm.
common.
Do you know how much crack?
I believe it was like 2 or 3 grams or something like that.
Is that like, I don't
know.
Is that a normal amount to sell, or is that like a personal
a normal,
use?
That's like, no, it's more than personal, but it's your typical for sale stuff.
Okay. We have in the notes here the appellant was not charged. Was there a reason for the appellant not being charged for anything?
She wasn't there at the time of the search warrant. We were doing the controlled purchases. We're purchasing from a black male. The informant didn't inform us of the appellant being there at that point, so we really had no reason to charge the appellant for any sort of drug charges.
Thank you. to the appellant, I can only imagine what that conversation was like with your husband. Can you tell us a little bit about how that went?
Well, after the screaming, as you can imagine, highly upset to put myself in that type of situation, you know, as well, to find out that there were drugs there, that I was there quite often. So that made me upset to find that out, but very uncomfortable situation, very hard time to get over that situation.
Okay, and you heard the detective say some crack cocaine was found on his person, sounds like perhaps to sell. Have you spoken to him about that at all?
Actually, that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions?
I just had, you mentioned that with your the guns that you currently have,
right,
that are stored at home, that you keep the key in a dresser. Even though your husband doesn't exactly know where it is, do you still think that's a good idea?
Well, I don't know where else would I keep it. I don't think he would even know, identify what that key would go to. It's like in a place where I have other things, personal items, so I don't think he would even know what it would belong to, but I can consider that.
I just, remembering my own childhood,
okay.
rummaging around the house, okay, looking for interesting things, that just struck me as maybe in need of consideration. You have probably a key ring with your house key and
absolutely
car
absolutely
fob and all of that kind
absolutely
of stuff.
And the key to the box itself is on my person, but the key to the ring is in my drawer.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Chief?
Just to follow up, does your husband know you have guns in that safe, in that box?
I'm sure, yes, he knows that.
So, and he knows it's a key, and likely the key is in the house somewhere. Is that correct?
The key to the lock.
No, I mean, your husband would know that.
Well, he knows I have those guns, so yes.
Right, so he would know the key is somewhere in the house.
He knows I have a key. As far as where he would know if it's in the house, if that's what I wouldn't say he would know where it is, but he knows I have a gun, he knows there's a key.
Yeah, and he would know it's in the house somewhere. I don't think he would, well, he'd tell me, but what do you think it could
house
be somewhere else?
Well, again, there's several keys, there's two keys, so one actually isn't in the house. It's on my person, I keep it with me.
All right, but one is.
But one is in the house, correct.
And that's the way it's still today, even after this incident?
Correct.
The key is.
If you don't mind, just to clarify, there are two keys because there are two locks.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. One is the lock to the box.
Yes.
The other is a lock, just something like a cable lock?
A cable lock, I guess that's what they call it, yes.
I got it. I'm just looking at this incident happened. He got access to the key and could have had access to the gun, and we're still keeping it in a similar box, or is it the same box?
It's a different box.
With a
key?
The
other one was like a
with a key box that's somewhere in the house or somewhere available to him if he found it.
Correct.
All right, thank you.
Other questions?
Did you?
Mr. Gregg.
I know we talked a lot about how often you were at the store. You said, how often was that?
Typically, it wasn't often, but I would say if I had to come up with the time, maybe like once or twice, not even a week, maybe a month. It was sporadic. It was if they asked. But at that point, I was probably doing like maybe once or twice a week.
Yeah.
It wasn't often.
So you weren't part owner of the store?
Not
you just
at
kind
all
of worked there. And your firearm was there for a period of time sometimes?
Sometimes, correct.
And just what makes it tough is the association, and then the projection of being totally unaware with what's going on. So that's the reservation.
I understand.
What's your husband doing for work presently?
He actually owns a store now in Red.
What kind of store is that?
Another bodega.
Okay. I think the concern I'm having, in addition to the key being left at the store with the gun in it, and anybody could have had access to it. A little bit with the conviction, of the felony and having the firearms. But also, it's striking me that that's the first you were hearing that your husband had been found with the crack cocaine on him.
Absolutely.
So I would have concerns now that maybe we don't know what he's doing, especially if he's still conducting this type of business, and maybe you don't know. So that's something I'm struggling with. Have you talked about the case since?
Oh yes, we've spoken about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's very uncomfortable. Again, as you mentioned, I don't know what happens, but as far as myself, I have to, I've learned a lot from this process myself, understanding the stupidity, quite honest, that I had, but to just the way I kept it and where it was stored, like there were things that I did correctly that I felt.
Yeah, and I think that's all that's really before us, mm-hmm. what he does. It's just we don't want to see a firearm end up in a drug transaction setting or obviously in the hands of a convicted felon. Has he ever talked about seeking a pardon for the convictions?
Yes. Yeah. It's money, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I understand that. Okay. Any other questions by the board?
Just have one more. Are there any children in the house?
No children.
I guess this kind of goes without saying, but I assume, well, I shouldn't assume, I'll ask, was the gun loaded when it was in the safe?
I believe so.
Okay, yes. Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, any other witnesses?
No, but I'd just like to ask one other question on redirect. Right now at this moment, mm-hmm. are you thinking about changing the way that you have this set up with the key at home? To make it more difficult.
Especially after her question, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I am. They might need to switch or make some more switches.
There are combination locks. That,
yeah, that's a good idea.
With a combination that, like, isn't your birthday.
Right, something easy. I get it. Absolutely.
I have nothing.
Okay. Thank you. Other follow-up? Okay. Would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes, please. Everybody in this room has been here a lot of times when somebody sat in this seat and came up with one fabulous story after another. And I think that the appellant has been remarkably candid and forthright about the whole situation. She goofed up. She knows she did. She wasn't selling drugs. There isn't any evidence of that. They would have charged her. She has her own set of problems as far as the husband, his record, what he did, what he's doing now, what he did in 2021, and so on. But we have to judge what's the probability that this is going to happen again. Did she learn something from it? I think that she's made a convincing case that she did, that this is not going to happen again. And she's remorseful about it. She's embarrassed about it. You can tell she's embarrassed. I think the probability of this behavior being repeated is extremely small. And in part, as a result of this hearing. So I think that makes her a suitable person going forward. Thank you.
Captain?
So we have a suitability revocation hearing before you, and not to make opposing counsel's arguments for him, but the appellant is very remorseful, which is refreshing to see. And she appears to be like a very, very nice person. However, our reservations are that she was with someone romantically for 7 years. During that time, she became aware that her husband was a felon. She worked in a place where arguably drug transactions are occurring, and either she did not know about it legitimately or not, they did happen there. We have a credible officer, a detective, who testified about scales being found there, and not just scales for sale, but scales in the use of drug sales, a ledger, a book of business, crack cocaine, marijuana, a dog that alerted positively to her husband having drugs secreted on his person, and a dog who alerted to the potential of narcotics being located where the gun was found, that detectives gained access to it, to the firearm, by him providing a key to them. And that's the textbook definition of constructive possession. And although someone isn't arrested for it, we're not looking at probable cause for a crime here. We're looking at an administrative hearing for, is this person suitable? And, you know, we look at past practice as a predictor of future success. And she stated numerous times that she left the gun there accidentally with the key in the store, and that on the night of the incident, she did the same. And then she learned a lot. However, she keeps the gun at home in a safe where the key is still in the home. So, you know, wandering hands or curious minds could potentially find this a key and put two and two together and put it in a safe. Either, you know, and I don't want to assume, but the husband has a history of selling drugs in 2000, 2007, and then in 2021. And the appellant testified she was unaware of any of that. So I don't know if he either hides his actions in his past really well or there's willful blindness. But either way, I think the potential, and I hate to hold her accountable for her husband's actions, however, when you live with a felon, the burden is on you to be extra judicious in how you secure the firearm so that they don't gain access to it, much like a child. And to this day, we would argue that we don't believe she's there yet. So we respectfully request you uphold our decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Brief factual.
Sure. This is a revocation for suitability by desk. The basis of the revocation is an incident that occurred in April of 2021 in Hartford. Hartford Police Department served a search warrant at a business in Hartford. They had previously made three controlled purchases by a confidential informant of crack cocaine at the business. The husband of the appellant was at the store at the time of the search warrant. The appellant's husband is a convicted felon. During the search, crack cocaine and marijuana was discovered on the person of the Collins' husband, and he affirmatively informed the police officers that there was a handgun in the store. During the search, marijuana was also found in coolers packaged for resale, along with scales and a drug ledger. The firearm was located in a small locked safe in the store. The owner had had the key to the safe and opened the safe and gained access to the police department for the firearm. The appellant is a state employee. She works for the Department of Consumer Protection. She has been a pistol permit holder for approximately 10 years. Facts.
Thank you, Colonel. Comments by the board? Chief?
To me, the case is not about someone living with a felon. We have lots of cases like that where they responsibly handle the gun. This is a case of the appellant leaving the gun, not realizing she left the gun, so really had no control over it, didn't realize it probably until the police called, and it is not the first time that has happened. Fast forward a couple years, she's basically in the same position at home. The gun is stored in the house with a key available to for someone who lives there. So there might be a time in the future when, I know Attorney Sherman said, you know, she's learned something, she's going to take the proper steps, but I would certainly like to see those steps having been taken before. I would say yes.
Other comments?
I'm concerned because I think under the circumstances it's important to be extra especially cautious, and so I still have a couple of, at least a couple of concerns. One, if it's a small portable safe, it's potentially easy for someone to come, pick it up, take it out, get a hammer and a chisel, break it open, and take out the gun. So I'm not sure how often you check to make sure your gun is still there. But I think under the special circumstances that you find yourself, I would be more comfortable if it were in a safe that was not so portable and secured in such a way that only you knew how to get access to it. So those are going to be some of the features that influence my decision this morning.
Thank you, Doctor. Other comments? None. Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Overturf.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Cinetti.
Her firearm was in a place where it shouldn't have been, and it was accessible by someone who shouldn't have had access to it. So I think there needs to be some consequence for that. I would vote for the issuing authority at this time. In my mind, without prejudice of her reapplying at some point in the future.
Dr. Conrad.
I feel similarly, so I'm going to say for the issuing authority at this time, and would encourage the appellant to reconsider if she chooses to continue to have firearms, how to secure them with extra caution and safety.
And chair votes issuing authority at this time. So unanimously, 6-0 in favor of the issuing authority. Thank you all.
Thank you.